You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So Paul Pogba is banned from football now. That's pretty much game, set and match, unless he manages to get it overturned. Maybe try the old boxing one. It was a supplement I took, which every single boxer does and seems to get away with it. But it's a four-year ban, and he's, what, 30? So
he'd be 31 in a week or something.
Yeah, so there you go. So that would take him to 35 years old. And also, like, his career has been on the ropes for God knows how long anyway. Just generally, what does the table make of the news for a start?
He's such a weird one because at one point I thought he was going to be one of the best midfielders in the world. Do you remember when United announced him with Pogba? Do you remember that was their whole little like marketing campaign and he comes back?
The music.
I was terrified, mate. I thought that was it. I thought this is United are back now. This is the guy. You know, he was at their academy originally. He's gone to Juve. He was amazing in midfield with Pirlo. Then he's come back. I was like, oh God, this is it. There was flashes for United of his talent. He's obviously done amazing things for France. But I don't remember a player who could have been as good as that. And then it just fizzled out into nothing. And like he's only 30 years old. He should be in the middle of his prime.
Do you think that at the age he's at, let's say, for example, somewhere in the middle of the two situations that you brought up there, right? Let's say he gets his ban cut in half to 2 years, because that's a possibility as well. Time served. Let's say he gets cut in half with that ban, right? Call it 33 by the time he comes out because he's nearly 31 now. Do you think he can make any sort of career for himself at that point at a decent level? So absolutely no offence to them, but I'm not saying, do you think he can get a contract in Saudi? I'm saying, do you think he come back into a top five European league and still play at a decent level at that point?
I don't think so. I think he's going to want a crazy amount of wages, isn't he? Even at that level, even when he comes back. Oh, I just can't see him.
The cheek of him, yeah. After the amount of money he's made for doing so little for the last however many years.
I can't see him going to a club, you know, like I'm just throwing a name out there, like Luton, do a Ross Barkley. I can't imagine him doing something like that.
No.
So where's he going to go? He's not going to get an opportunity at sort of like a Champions League team. So he's got to then go down, but then he's going to have to take the wages. So I honestly do think he'll end up, you know, if he comes back, which I don't think he will, but if he does, it'll be America or Saudi or those options.
If he had like the world's best mentality, right, Pogba, which we know he doesn't, but say he did, right, I do think that his game might allow him to, in terms of the way he plays the game, might allow him to still be half decent if he was able to get his head down, be training in that time. I don't know, play behind closed doors. I don't know if that's a possibility.
That we all think, though, is that like his mentality is precisely the reason he never lived up to the potential that he had. And therefore, with 2 years a minimum of him being forced to sit on the couch, his mentality isn't the type to just take that. Like I've heard, for example, Tonali is still working very hard behind the scenes. He's still very much invested in football. I mean, obviously age plays a factor, but he just doesn't have that in him. Like even when he was in his prime, he never looked like he was a dedicated footballer.
We've got to obviously speak about the injuries, because he's had some bad injuries in his career. Yeah. And that would have affected him massively. But I do think that, to use a boxing analogy, you got on top fighters that when a fight's going their way, they look amazing, man. They look really, really good. But when they're swimming against the tide, they don't look that good. And that's what I would sort of say about Paul Pogba, because when have you seen him in, let's say, a struggling side or a good side that are underperforming and he's the one to turn it around from? But I'll tell you what, you drop him into a dominant Juve team, he's really, really good. You drop him into the best French team they've had in a couple of decades, he's really, really good, you know? And when we look at his achievements, it almost begs the question, like, would it be a waste? Would it be a waste? Someone that's won, what, four Serie A titles in a row, right? In a team that had a stronghold over the Serie A. Three successive tournaments, you know, 2014 World Cup, I think it was. He was young player of the tournament. 2016, they reached the final. He plays a pivotal role in that. 2018, they win it and he scores in the final. Like, he is a player.
Do you think it's a bit harsh then to say that he wasn't a key part of that team and dragged them forward? Like,
I don't think anyone's saying that, though. I think we're saying he was a great player, but did he live up to what he could have done?
Yeah.
I don't think he did.
And this is what I'm saying. Now he's just hit this ban. No, he's just got this ban. The first thing is this, right? If someone had have told me during Pogba's heyday, yeah, call it his early 20s or whatever, if someone had have told me then, right, when he's 30, bearing in mind, we think, you know, players still in their prime at 30. Look at Salah going strong and others. If someone had have told me then he gets hit with this ban, I'd have gone, mate, that's like front page news. You know what I mean? That's massive. Pogba getting banned for whatever it is at that time. It's not really even big news. And that says it all. That says it all, at the fact that the reason you would say it's wasted talent is because he hasn't been performing at that World Cup final wasn't last week. He hasn't been performing at this level, and then this has happened. He's been gone. He's been missing for a couple of years, man.
Yeah.
So can we put a point on how good we thought he was at his best?
Oh, like,
phenomenal.
I thought he could have hit Zidane levels. Like, the potential he had when he came out of Juventus originally, I thought he could have gone there. I thought he could have been best midfielder on the planet. Looking at who's brilliant now, I thought he had the talent to do what De Bruyne's doing. That's what I thought when he came out of Italy. As soon as he got to United, there was something that didn't feel right. Do you know what I mean? And I think he came to United at a difficult time, sort of post-Fergie, when it already felt like things weren't quite what they should be at Man United.
I've got a suggestion then, because his career for me is a little bit Neymar-esque in that there was moments where he was in an unbelievable trio with Pirlo and Vidal, and him being the younger one, the same way Neymar was the younger one to Messi and Suarez. And it felt like, all right, now you're going to go off and make your own legacy out of the shadow and be the main man for Man United, the way Neymar was supposed to at PSG, and it didn't happen. And at Man United, although he had some good seasons, I'm looking at the stats and thinking, 13 goals, 9 assists in one of those seasons was outrageous. But a lot of the time we were left like, and I do think like he was propped up a little bit from how good the team was around him at Juventus. And when the level was lower and he had to be the main man and to drag the team on, mentally, I don't think he had that in his character. And we've seen when Zlatan came to Man United, all of a sudden it lifted him a little bit. I felt like he couldn't carry that on his shoulders the way other players can.
Not every great is the player that does that, though. Not every great is the one that pulls you out of the mess. Mm. Like some are sort of cogs in that unit. And I think that Pogba would have been one of them. But to use an analogy, the way I see it, what it would be like now, right? Bellingham, we're looking at Bellingham, we're thinking you're going to win a Ballon d'Or, right? You're going to be unreal. Imagine he's at Real Madrid for a couple of seasons, they're dominating La Liga. Mm. Imagine he also picks up an international trophy for England, which would be absolutely brilliant if he did. But imagine he does that, and then that takes him to about 23 years old, something like that. And then we say, right, you see this bloke, by the time he's 27, 28, he is done. Done. That's inconceivable, isn't it?
Fucking blows my mind. Just
it's impossible. That, yeah. It's impossible. Barring, God forbid, touch wood, a horrific injury. It's impossible. It's never happening to Bellingham. That is how we would have looked at Paul Pogba once upon a time. But we've been conditioned over the years by the way his career's gone and the performances to now sort of be not as shocked that it's gone that way. But I'm telling you, that is what it would have been like.
One thing I will say, though, is I think Bellingham is that guy, though. Bellingham is the put the club on my back. I will drag you there. And I think we thought Pogba was that guy when he signed for Man United, just as you said, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
And they actually needed other players around him to help them. They weren't there.
I do wonder if it's a bit of a cautionary tale to a talent like Bellingham as well. Like, in terms of pick your club very, 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 very carefully and understand what you can do. Can you be the guy with a cape on your back, or do you need to be a star within a team of stars? Do you know what I mean? Like, say, for example, that, you know, in a couple of years' time, Bellingham wants to move away from Madrid. He has to think about this. Yeah. He has to look at what, like, be fair to Pogba. He played a lot of football matches, stood next to Fellaini, stood next to Herrera. He did it. He had a tough job in those United teams. You know what I mean?
Horrendous.
You think about that and you go, fuck me, Vidal and Pirlo to that. Yeah, I can see what I struggled a bit. But then, like, he obviously would have backed himself. Was he a record transfer at 80 million quid when he went?
Yeah, it was.
I think it might have been for a midfielder. He obviously backed himself that he could go there and do that. And I think it's a really tough thing for young players to understand, is like, am I the guy that can carry, let's be honest, a bit of a fucking bog like shit midfield, or am I the guy who needs experienced heads around me, great players around me? Because I think it's actually a fantastic comparison, Joey, to look at what Bellingham's currently doing in a Madrid team where he's got experienced players around him, where he's got Cruz, where he's got Modric, you know, and then looking at Pogba, who we were talking about as those levels of potential.
You said there about, you know, pick your club carefully. And I think it, to be fair to Pogba, you've also got to remember, you can pick your club. You can't pick your family also. And he's had a lot of family troubles that have obviously played a part in what's happened with his career as well. You compare him to someone like Bellingham, like strong family unit. I think his old man's an ex-copper or something like that. And there's a lot of, like, you can tell with Bellingham that he's got that sort of harmony within his family, and that helps in his progression.
You can see they're around him. They literally moved over there to be with
him. Yeah, so the people...
Well, his dad got the short straw and had to go live with his little brother in Sunderland. His mum lives in the
Jewish. Yeah, they're about the same. But yeah, no, like, you know, there's obviously a lot more going in Bellingham's favour when it comes to just having a harmonious personal life as well, and that will benefit him more. But yeah, I do think it is like that. I do think it would be at that age, if we said, right, one of the brightest, if not the brightest world talent as a midfielder, to say his career is done at this point, it's mental. And then when we look at other guys, right? So you mentioned Neymar as an example there. One of the first people I thought of was like Adriano, right? The Brazilian one.
Can you give people a history lesson for that guy who haven't heard of this geezer?
So Adriano, obviously, he was going to be the next Ronaldo. And when, again, if you're younger, I don't mean CR7 Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean Brazilian Ronaldo, right? Adriano was going to be the next one.
He was big, and he was strong, like, left foot, beast of a player.
Mate, I mean, breaking records, wasn't he?
He can kick a ball like you've never seen.
Fuck,
could leather a football. I mean, he was a pro evolution soccer superstar, which is really aging me. But
I mean, if you look like FIFA covers, Pro Evo covers around that time, like everyone thought he was going to go on and be the next best thing, and everyone thought that he was going to go on and be the man that wins Brazil another trophy. They still haven't won anything. We haven't won a World Cup since then, you know what I mean? And Adriano, again, like, that's another comparison you can make in terms of when we say about family struggles, things like that.
He talked about mental health recently as well, and said that was part of the reason he never really delivered on what was possible.
So he's a player that I think that you could look and you could say universally, around the time of 2003, 2004, we were all looking and going, this guy is going to be the world's best striker. He's maybe one that you could say, wow, his career fell off a cliff. There's other guys, isn't there?
What about Balotelli?
Balotelli was a good example. That was one I was thinking of. He was another one, but I would put him a level below that in terms of just my own expectations. I can't speak for everyone else. There's guys like Ricardo Quaresma, Adel Taarabt. There's guys that you looked at, and because of the moments of brilliance they were able to produce, you sort of looked at and you thought, oh, you could be one of them. But at the same time, none of these had the resume that Paul Pogba has.
Are we saying that in terms of potential and what our expectations were and reality and hitting that post event, as you say, is this the biggest waste of talent we've seen in the modern era?
He's the standout, and I think there's a gulf in between him and anyone else.
But at least with Neymar, you can argue he still achieved a fuckload and left a much bigger legacy, you know, from such a young age.
But then in national teams, the Neymar-Pogba thing is complete opposite. It's in terms of, like, a lot of Brazilian fans thought Neymar was going to come in and be the reason they start winning World Cups again. Didn't. Whereas Pogba did.
Is Neymar still the top goal scorer of all time, though? Is he?
For Brazil, he is.
But he hasn't brought them trophies in the way that a Pogba has, you know?
I just think when you're actually looking at the accolades, I think that's why there is such a gulf between Pogba and anyone else when we come to wasted talent, guys who didn't fulfill their potential. Because, like, a few of the names we've named there, Balotelli, what's he won? Adriano, what's he won?
Yeah.
Quaresma, we'll see what. Nothing. This guy, for three tournaments in a row with that French national team, was a real, real player, an important player, even at times when his club career hadn't reflected it and we were thinking, maybe he's not as good now. Yeah, he might not be playing well for Man United, but he's going to go away to France in the summer and he's going to do the business. He's going to score in the final for them like he did. You know what I mean?
So remember that team talk he gave? And that was a moment where you're like, shit, this guy is a leader. He is that guy. And then It never appeared in the Premier League.
Did you look at it and say it's the move? Did he just choose the wrong club in Man United? I mean, I remember reading this article a few years ago where they were saying, like, a lot of the kind of, like, United talent where it weren't quite working, if they'd have done a club swap with Manchester City, what could they be? They were saying, like, right, De Bruyne and Pogba, how much difference in talent is there? And I think we can say that De Bruyne has been the best midfielder in the world, one of them, for the last 10 years. Could Pogba have been that under a Guardiola? In the same way of like a Rashford, if Rashford had been under Guardiola, I know we mentioned him earlier, for the last 5 years, what could he have been?
Pogba was a freak in that physically, he was massive, but also very like fit and able to cover blades of grass, kind of like Yaya could, but arguably even more athletic than Yaya in terms of like how light on his feet he was. But then the long passes he'd play in to the striker on the left shoulder were incredible. Like there was moments where I was doubting him because of that hit and miss, how hit and miss it was at Man United. And then he'd pick out someone and you'd be like, fucking hell. But
to fight his corner, who were the strikers he was feeding? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Did he ever have the right player in front of him that he could have fed a bit more? Because I agree with you. In terms of like his passing ability, some of the stuff he could pull out, obviously there's been a few comps going around ever since this news come out. And you're looking at it going, my God, man, you could do anything.
That was why when Zlatan did come, him and Zlatan just hit it off pretty well. Because Zlatan had the footballing brain to go, when you get the ball, it's coming here. Yeah. Some of them were behind him. Obviously, most of the team were probably behind Pogba mentally. So, I mean, that was ironic because you're listening to all these players. I'm thinking, who at Newcastle had a lot of talent but never really went anywhere? And I was thinking, Hatem Ben Arfa, another French bloke.
Yeah.
Like, there was moments, I mean, it's mental even put him in the same bracket as Pogba, I'm not. But there was moments where he did things on a football pitch. I remember one goal where he pretty much ran from his own box right the way through to the Everton box and slotted it in. And you're like, fucking hell, what am I watching here? And if you don't apply yourself mentally, you're just never going to fulfill the talent. But yeah, I think in terms of like the peak and then the drop off, Pogba might be that guy.
Ben Arfa's a good example though. Dimitri Payet, you could maybe say as well.
Nutcase. I know. He was outrageous.
But then he's gone to France and delivered consistently for a few years now. And I think that's almost the sad thing with Pogba. If he'd have gone back to Juve and it had worked, do you know what I mean? If he was starting every week, playing really well, winning things there, you'd have gone, you know what, mate? It was just United. It was just Man United was the wrong club. I think the fact that he's gone back to Juve and it's still not there, that makes you go, you know what? As much as you should have had more talent around you at Man United, as much as maybe you could have had better managers for you, it's still you as well, because you've gone back to where you were so successful before and nothing has happened.
But is that as a consequence of something that being at Man United can do to players?
Do you think Graeme Souness ever had a point about the whole mentality? And Graeme would like pick on him. It got to be a bit of a joke, but does anyone think Graeme was right about him? Because Graeme, actually, I think he's done a bit of a I told you so in the last week.
He's been waiting for this moment, hasn't he? Let's be honest.
He was the one sending in the dodgy stuff. He was the one sending the supplement.
Yeah. Which it's a bit sad, right? Because I'm thinking like, you know what, mate? Why kick him while he's down, really? You know, but look, was he right about him? Was he just mentally weak?
He could well have been, but I would err towards saying that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Man United side he joined, especially what was going on with the ownership and whatnot around that time, could be quite toxic. And I think that you can see it from the Ronaldo interview when he spoke about the club. And I think that then what kicks in is, are you a strong-minded enough individual, someone that has that in them to be able to push on from that point and retrieve it and pull it back? And obviously players like Pogba, Sancho to an extent, a lot of guys that we're seeing that went there around that time just weren't able to.
Sancho's the one I was going to say, by the way. That to me is a bit of a cautionary tale. I look at Sancho, again, especially as an England fan, I look at Sancho, when he came out of Dortmund, I was like, wow, this kid, the numbers he stuck up in Germany, the way he was playing, connection with Haaland, I was like, oh my God, this guy's going to come in and hit the... No, and it's just, like, I think we all get very partisan as football fans. We like to go, ha ha, United, ha ha, this, ah, they failed, ah, you spent all that money. Ultimately, like, we're all Premier League fans. We all watch Match of the Day on a Saturday night. And I've got to be honest with you, when a player like that comes into the league, Sancho, Pogba, I want to see good stuff, man. I want to be entertained.
Mate, I remember when Ronaldo came back to United, that first game 4-1 against Newcastle, I was absolutely... Oh, I shouldn't really say this on camera. I celebrated goals.
No, I did. I did. Ronaldo's got, yeah.
But you do. You do. Like, let's be honest. We're
it's
Premier
it's
League
my
players.
Childhood. It's nostalgia.
Exactly. It's nostalgia, man. Like, yeah. With Ronaldo, that was a big one. I remember, like, even as an Arsenal fan back in the day, turning on Match of the Day and being like, how many stepovers is he going to do this week? Do you know? Yeah. Just because it's like,
yeah.
You want to see talented players, like, expressing their talent, playing well. And, like, Sancho's one where you go, like, fuck, I wanted you to come to the Premier League, not do that well. I didn't want you winning trophies at Man United, but I wanted you embarrassing defenders on Match of the Day. And it's just sad when you lose that. And I think there's been a few. I think from an England perspective, you look over the years, Jack Wilshere is only 32 years old. When he first came through Arsenal, and obviously the famous evening was the Barcelona game where he bossed Xavi and Iniesta. That one was injuries. There's been murmurs about, you know, what was going on with him behind the scenes. But, like, it's just sad seeing talent wasted. You can even say Gazza. You can even say Paul Gascoigne.
Mate,
did he ever achieve what he should have done for the talent he had? Not really.
No, he was one of the most talented footballers. If we're talking, like, of all time and not delivering on the potential, Gazza's got to be in my top 10, top 5, something like that. Like, and I was too young to have seen him in his prime. I remember being, like, I don't know, fucking really young when I watched him at Euro 96. And that was unbelievable, the things he would do with the football.
And I think it's a bit sad that, like, because of the Graham Souness stuff, because of the narrative, because he came to United at a time when they should have gone back up again and they went back down and no one likes United and blah, blah, blah. There'll be a lot of people seeing this news going, piss off Pogba, we didn't like you, we don't like the silly dances with Jesse Lingard. But, like, I think ultimately as football fans, you have to look at it as just talent that's just died.
It's a real shame because that's actually the highlight of Jesse Lingard's career.
Yeah.
Jesse Lingard and Pogba will be thinking, well, it did huge numbers on TikTok,
mate. Let's see if he can get to South Korea once
apparently he's fucking... Even his debut went really bad. He was booed and all of that, and they lost. But you know, the ironic thing is, we're talking about, is it the football move that killed Pogba? A lot of people said that that's what hurt Gazza. Like, if Gazza had went to Man United, ironically, everyone said Sir Alex would have made sure that none of this shit was going on in his life and would have kept him somewhat on a straight and narrow path.
Well, I think that's one thing as well to consider nowadays is, like, we've heard a lot of managers, I've heard Jose say it before, but I've heard lots of managers say that with this generation of players, with players of this kind of age group now, they find it a lot harder to connect with him. How many times did we see Fergie deal with a player who could have had issues, who could have gone off the rails?
Ryan Giggs the whole time, we didn't even know.
No, hey. But Fergie had that connection with that group of players where he could get the best out of him. I should say it for Wenger as well. Wenger went into an Arsenal team who, I'm going to say it now, half of them were pissheads.
Oh, massive.
Like, they're alcoholics.
Yeah.
Wenger went in there and taught them all fucking yoga. Yeah. Back then, there were managers who could connect to players of that age and get something out of them. And I'm looking at the younger generation of managers now, the not even the Peps and the Klopps, the one below that of the Artetas. Do you know what I mean? Those kind of, like, late 30s, early 40s managers. I'm like, I really hope you guys can build connections with players and stop players who might go down having the issues that a Gazza had, having the issues that we know a Pogba had. Sancho's spoken about issues that he's having personally as well. And I'm looking at this younger generation of managers. I'm like, I feel like we missed a generation. I feel like in the last 10, 15 years, we had these sort of managers in their late 40s, 50s who couldn't connect with 20-year-olds in the way that the generation before that, the Wengers and the Fergusons, could. And I'm looking at this younger generation of managers, I'm like, I really hope you can do it.
Do you know what that is, probably? The internet.
Like, massively.
If you think about it now, right? So you mentioned there, like, Arteta. Arteta has come along in the internet age. So now he's been a player in the internet age. So now he can understand how the internet has warped and changed these players and changed the amount of abuse they probably get, change where their focus can be, the perception of them. So he would be a manager that can identify with that. And there was a period of probably 10 to 15 years where managers haven't lived or played through the internet age, but the players they're managing have, and then they can't understand how
this is it. And it's carrot or stick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And with Pogba, I got the feeling there was a lot of stick and maybe not enough carrot. It's hard to give like examples and comparisons because I look at Saka at Arsenal, and Saka's just the most lovable kid going. Like, anyone in the England camp, who's your favourite? Oh, I love hanging out with Saka. He's a lovely kid. You know, he's he was an A-star level student. He, like,
every fucking time we see this guy, A-star level student. Oh, he's so nice.
I've got Saka's grades framed on my wall. Hell. But the point I was going to make was, and I think it's a good point you're making, Joey, in terms of like being able to understand what players are going through and understand what the internet does to them. Like, how many times did we see Pogba struggle? How many times did we see Graham Souness give him a fucking kick in? Yeah. Did we ever really see a Man United manager or Man United as a club fucking go around them and go, fuck off, he's our boy, leave him alone? Whereas Arsenal, what happens with Saka? Goes to the Euros, misses a penalty, horrendous abuse online. Do you know what Arsenal did as a club? When he came back to the training ground, we erected a wall and we got every bit of fan mail that he ever received and we pinned it up on that wall so that he could walk in and show him that he's loved. And I do just look at players like Pogba, other players who just haven't been given that love. And I'm like, you know what, mate? Mm. We all get fed up with them. We all look at the contracts and the money they get paid and we go, fuck off, man, do some running. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Rashford at the moment. Every
I was just thinking about how much we've just given Rashford a lot of stick today.
We
haven't done that badly.
Yeah, no, but Brian, there weren't many fucking Newcastle fans giving Saka love when he missed the penalty. The point is, I'm saying, as a club, you look after your own. Mm. And what are we seeing? I'm not trying to just like two-foot Man United fans who don't like him, but it's like, maybe if, like, with this younger generation of players who are vulnerable to social media, who talk about mental health a lot more than any other generation have, maybe we should be trying to fucking wrap ourselves around and protect them a bit more.
It is about the manager, and that's why I feel like the generation above the Arteta, so like Brendan Rodgers age group, like Jose Mourinho around there, like they're kind of, Jose's actually quite good at social media compared to a lot of them, but like some of them blatantly have no fucking concept of what the hell is going on online and how to deal with that. And like, that's kind of why I am interested to see how this new breed of managers like Cesc Fabregas and whoever else of this generation who have been playing to a degree handle this. And I think it will benefit these players and we will get less of the Paul Pogba situation happening, hopefully.
Can someone save Sancho? Like, can someone go into Man United this summer that's not Ten Hag? And we know that, like, Sancho isn't happy with the way that Ten Hag spoke about Sancho's mental health and stuff like that. Is there, like, a younger generation manager who can go in, stick an arm around Sancho and actually protect him?
Is it possible to find a manager who is less cold than Ten Hag? I don't think so. Like, I can't think of a worse manager to be personable towards players than Ten Hag. And that's not even me disliking Ten Hag. It's like, have you seen one interview where the guy comes across as warm in any way, shape or form? Like, he's a fucking robot.
When I look, my mind was pricked then when you were saying about those current managers, and I was thinking, yeah, he's got a real good point there. You know, Xavi Alonso, he's doing well and he's doing it. And you look at those guys around that age group that have now gone into managing, you think, you know what, your man management skills are good. But even the ones that aren't winning necessarily, like Frank Lampard, is sort of laughed at in a way sometimes.
Steven Gerrard.
But I tell you what, and I can't speak as much on Gerrard because I wouldn't know it that closely, but Frank Lampard sort of laughs at in a way. But I tell you what, the fucking players loved him, mate.
He's very likeable. Like, when
you,
I
know
see
what
him
I mean, yeah. And I do feel like he's the sort of guy that on the training pitch is able to relate to these younger players sometimes. So I think that the ones that are good at both sides of it can do that with the relationship management with the players, get an arm around them, get the best out of them, understand that things have changed as society, we're different, as people we're different, maybe we are a little bit more wrapped in cotton balls, but maybe instead of trying to push against it, you go, right, okay, how can I harness that, how can I work with it to get the best out of you? I think that the next crop of managers that we see coming through, we are probably going to get better results there when it comes to that, and that might end up having situations like this Pogba one avoided.